Hey world, you're listening to Globetrotter, the pod that puts the lover in travel lover. I'm your host, Cassie Martinez, and each week I trade tales with a slew of amazing adventurers who, like me, kiss and tell. Hey you guys, I'm so excited for you guys to meet today's guest, Bethany. Self-described as a, quote, 26-year-old hopeless romantic that doesn't quite believe in love, Bethany is joining us today fresh off a year in Amsterdam, where she spent a couple months working at the most notorious party hostel in Europe. Yep, I'm talking about the Flying Pig. And yeah, she's spilling all the tea. This is actually a really special and unique episode as well, because Bethany was actually an avid listener before becoming a guest of the pod, and fate, or rather hostels, brought us together. See, a gal named Nicole that I met this summer at the Rising Cock Hostel met Bethany a couple months later all the way in Zadar, Croatia at the Lazy Monkey, which is a super awesome hostel, by the way, and you should totally stay there. Well, the two got to chatting when Bethany noticed Nicole's Rising Cock t-shirt and recognized it from the pod. Honestly, is that a me cute or what? And while I don't want to spoil it before you hear this story later, the rest is history and we're here today. Nothing like the cock to bring people together, you know? In this episode, we dig into what it takes to not only survive, but thrive while working at one of the rowdiest hostels on planet Earth, as well as share some tried and true tips on how to use Tinder to get your laundry done for free, and maybe even secure some housing while you're at it. All things a true Globetrotter needs to know, obviously. So, without further ado, let's get into it, shall we? So, Bethany, how are you? Where are you coming from today?
I'm good. I'm coming from Boston, and I'm going to Austin, Texas tomorrow.
From Boston to Austin, let's go.
Yeah.
So, briefly, tell us a little bit about your past year. How did you spend it?
So, this past year, I had a working holiday visa for the Netherlands, and I lived in Amsterdam for the whole year. And I was working at the Flying Pig downtown hostel.
Nice.
I started as a volunteer upon my fourth day of landing in Amsterdam, and I became the bartender by the end of the year.
Iconic. So how long were you away?
I was away for about a year and a half. A year and 3 months were in Amsterdam, and like 2 months were in Croatia when I ran out of days in the Schengen area.
Yeah, man. Croatia is that hideout.
Yeah.
So you were saying that you were spent most of it in Amsterdam. Where else did you go?
So I went to London after my visa ended because I needed an exit stamp. So Amsterdam was in a lockdown from December to late January where nothing was open. So I was like, I don't want to do this. I'm going to go on my paid holiday, which is a thing in the Netherlands, which I've never heard of. And I went to France for 2 weeks. I was traveling in France with these friends that I met actually working at a surf hostel in Taiwan. But they're all French on their working holiday. So then we all met up there. I even met up with a Tinder date from when I studied abroad.
Honestly, I live for those, like, it's been years, but you're in my area. Would you like to get coffee hangs?
Yeah.
That's when following somebody on Instagram forever comes in handy.
I love prolonging the Tinder flings. I'm just like, maybe I'll come back to Italy sometime and then we can hang out or something.
Oh my gosh. I once made this TikTok, I remember, about basically how I've met all these people while traveling for like 5 minutes, like in a train station randomly. And I just vibe with them and we follow each other on Instagram. There are people that I will just follow for life. Like, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's now your wedding. I'm celebrating with you digitally. Like, I've got your back. Yeah. And people were commenting. They were like, you're a Taurus. You're definitely a Taurus. Like, just too loyal. Too loyal.
I also do that. Like their stories, like their pictures.
No, I was going to say, I mean, as a hostel volunteer, particularly a Flying Pig, there are just like hundreds of new people every single week. Were there people that you were just like, yeah, add me, and then like a month later you're like, who the fuck is that?
Oh, absolutely. I got like 40 new followers within the first month because I was just being friends with everyone, and I was like, I don't remember speaking to you.
Honestly, like, backpacker culture makes you like such a fast friend.
Yeah.
How has adjusting back to the States been like for you?
It took me a while to realize I wasn't just casually in Amsterdam anymore, the city of my dream. I was at a Red Sox game last week eating a hot dog, and then I had the realization that I was not in Amsterdam, and I got a little bit sad.
Yeah.
And the other day, I was at Jewel Osco, and I walked by the bread aisle. There was just a wall of bread options, and I've never noticed how crazy that is. And I turn around, there was this wall of ketchup. I was not used to it, even though I'm from the US, yeah.
There really is nothing like a super like sterile American grocery store to bring you back to reality.
Yeah.
You bring up a cute point though. Like honestly, like the little markets and grocery stores and whatnot in Europe, they're so quaint. Like they're cute, they're tiny, they have like two options of each and they're like pick.
Yeah.
And also not everything's stuffed with terrible ingredients, low key.
High fructose corn syrup.
Ugh.
Sometimes I do miss it, like a good Mountain Dew.
Oh yeah. So the hostel volunteer world is honestly so much smaller than anyone realizes. You and I actually digitally met through a mutual we have, Nicole, who, hi, if you're listening, Nicole. Nicole and I met while at another notorious party hostel called the Rising Cock that I actually used to volunteer to, like pre-COVID times. Can we just like talk about how the universe is so wild? Like, how did we come to be here on this interview? Like, it's nuts.
It is insane. Like, the hostel was the Lazy Monkey in Zadar, Croatia, which I was only there to hide from the Schengen area. And then one day this girl came in with the Rising Cock shirt, and I was like, I wonder if she knows Cassie Martinez. But I didn't ask because I thought it would be a weird question.
For a little bit of context, basically, I was personally on my off week between group trips, and I was on this island called Azores Islands, which is this Portuguese island. They call it the Hawaii of Europe, whatever. I was over there licking my wounds after a group trip that left me and just like, oh my God, we were partying for 6 days straight. I need to just like unplug. And Nicole posted you in her story, and I was like, oh, let me go through her pic. She's like such a cute little backpacker. And the first photo I clicked had that caption that said, did somebody order an Americano? And I was like, ugh, I love that. And I honestly did not connect the dots between that and the title of Damon's episode. I was just like, wow, the universe, what a wink. Like, you know, gotta tap. I don't know this gal, but it's fine. The hostel volunteer world,
Yeah.
again, like we said, is so small. And then you follow back and you're like, girl. And we started talking and we both realized, like, oh my God, like, you listen to the pod, you're out here living the Globetrotter life. Like, I've gotta have you on the pod. We've gotta talk about it.
I'm so glad to be here. I literally manifested this because I would
Yeah.
listen to your podcast while cleaning the hostel beds and bathroom, and I was like,
Oh
what could I
my.
say if I was on here?
Yes, ma'am. I love that. I love that. Tell me though, when you were in Croatia, what was your plan? What did you do?
I was in Split for like a week, and then I got to Zadar, which I liked better because it was tiny and it was
Yeah.
like a 5 minute walk to the Adriatic Sea, which is amazing.
So cool.
Yeah, but I didn't really know anyone going, so I was like kind of lonely, and all I wanted to do was to go back to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I was feeling so homesick for Amsterdam, so I was just a little bit emo for a
Oh my God, I've cried in Croatia. I've definitely
bit.
cried in Croatia. I cried in Dubrovnik.
Yeah.
I remember I was at a restaurant. I had just split from all of my friends that I just kind of became like, so now I don't want to use the word dependent, but I just got so used to like our flow together, right? Like we were basically bopping around for like a month and then we went our separate ways eventually. And I was at this restaurant and I was on the phone and I was just crying, like, what the fuck? And my mom's like, well, come home. And I'm like, no, that's not the answer.
No.
So on that note, as you were saying, a large chunk of your time in Europe this past year, you were volunteering slash working at the most notorious party hostel in Europe, I'd say, Flying Pig.
Yeah.
Take us to before all of that. What were the events that led you to dropping everything and hopping over there?
Yeah, so I graduated from Baylor December of 2019, and I went back to my parents' house originally for like a month or two to just chill and then find a job. And then COVID hit, and then I was just stuck at home, and I really wanted a job so I can move out of the house, but I couldn't find a job. So I was like, I'm gonna just go work in Amsterdam. And I got the working holiday visa for the Netherlands, which allows you to work without a sponsorship. Like, you can just land there and just apply for jobs, which I did.
Mm.
I didn't even apply for jobs beforehand. I was like, I'm going to give myself 5 days to chill.
Yeah. I was not aware that that was even a possibility, that you could apply for the working visa in the Netherlands without like technically a job. And then you get like X amount of time to be there.
It's mostly for like culture exchange.
Oh, okay.
Certain passports, you get a list of countries you can apply to. I think for the American passport, people go to Australia a lot or New Zealand for this working holiday. Like I landed in the Netherlands with like 700 euros and I didn't really have an online job. So I was like, I should probably like work for housing and food.
Yeah. And did you have any examples of people who had done this in the past where you were just like, fuck it, I want to do this?
Yeah, I don't know where I got this idea. I think maybe watching YouTube videos of people working at hostels in Thailand. I was like, Amsterdam probably has hostels. I can probably do the same with this and live for free.
Yeah. And what was it about Amsterdam for you?
I've been here a few times before, and every time I visited, I loved it. And I remember 5 years ago, I was on the near the Van Gogh Museum, and I was like, it would be so incredible to live here. And then 5 years later, I was casually living here.
Yes, a real manifester on our hands, you guys. So how did you apply at the hostel once you were there?
I DM'd them on Instagram to ask if they had any positions, and they were like, here's our email, send us your resume, and I did. And I was lucky because they had just come out of a lockdown, so they basically had no volunteers, but they were reopening everything. So I got the position immediately, but usually there's like a waiting list for the Flying Pig because it's like a huge hostel. But yeah, I was the only volunteer for 2 weeks.
What? What was that like?
It wasn't as fun, but I had the whole volunteer room to myself, which was nice.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, but when all the staff went home, I was just by myself with a bunch of guests, which was fine.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish I got the experience of like 8 people living in one dorm, all like volunteers from everywhere, and you just hang out.
Yeah, that communal vibe for sure.
Yeah.
When I was doing my volunteering, when I did it in Spain, in Seville, I was not in the staff room. And I honestly was like, thank God, because that room was disgusting. Like, it was so bad.
Oh, yeah. Ours was too when everyone came back. Yeah.
It was so bad. Like, it's just like in the beginning, it's all fine, right? Like, it's empty, it's clean. And then just like slowly but surely, everyone stops like throwing away their trash. And you're like, oh my God.
You have to like scoot through the clothes to get to your bed.
Yeah. What was the average day like for you?
So for volunteering, I would start at like 10. And I had free breakfast beforehand. And you start at 10. And then you do all the beds. So we have about 200 beds.
Whoa.
In the hostel. And you usually get like about 6 rooms, maybe like 15 beds a day. You try to do all that before noon, which I would do while listening to your podcast, which is such a crazy moment that I'm talking about it here now. But and then around noon, you clean all the public spaces and then you finish around 4, and then you get 3 free beers at the bar.
Hey.
And then you're exhausted, and then all of a sudden it's 10 p.m., and then you do it again the next day.
Right. And you were mentioning that you started off as a volunteer, and then you transitioned into a paid position.
So I think they really needed staff. That's why it only took me 8 days. Usually it takes you like a month or two when they're like, okay, we like you, but they didn't have enough staff. And they are just reopening from the lockdown. So I got the position, which meant that I had to move out of the hostel because if I was a paid staff, I had to have my own place.
Ooh.
Which was really hard because Amsterdam has like a housing crisis. At one point, I stayed with a Tinder date for a month.
A month.
Yeah, but she was in Paris for 2 of those weeks. So.
Okay.
But still, that was probably not the smartest thing.
I mean, it sounds genius to me, actually.
Yeah, I got her like toilet paper and like groceries to pay rent.
Oh my God. So you didn't actually pay rent. You paid in toiletries.
Yeah, I just needed a place. But like Amsterdam's running out of like housing because it's so tiny.
Wow. Okay, we can all take a lesson from that after vetting carefully, obviously, your Tinder date. Why not just move in? So how was life at the hostel different from what you expected?
I thought it was going to be crazier, but we, after the lockdown, we still had like COVID measures.
Right, of course.
It was like all the bars had to close at before 12. Mm. So it wasn't as crazy as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a pub crawl. Mm. I thought we would, but all the staff were really nice. I think they are really good at picking people. Like all the staff were like super friendly, super well-traveled.
Yeah.
And it's like a really fun community. You just go hang out with people that are done with work or go to their house.
Yeah, I love that. You got the very wholesome version of the flying pig.
Yeah, the first half was like not that much was happening. We had no karaoke. We had no events because it wasn't allowed.
Oh my God. No karaoke.
They got karaoke after my visa had finished. Like they finally bought a karaoke machine. I was like, this could have been me.
Rude. So it takes a very specific type of person to volunteer at a hostel like you did. What are some of the qualities that will take you far at a party hostel?
You just have to be really positive and like be open-minded to like new experiences. And like, I think the biggest thing as a volunteer is to not complain. Mm. Like nobody likes cleaning the shower drains, picking out hairs. And I think as a new volunteer, you should work as hard as you can for the first like few weeks. And then afterwards, when you get the gist of everything, you can slack off a bit. You know where they check, where they don't check. And then you can be lazy.
Pro tip right there.
But at the start, you got to work super hard. So everyone's like, I like this new volunteer. She's super like fast. She's super like nice and like does her job well.
Yeah.
And then later on, people still think you do that, but then you do half of what's expected.
Yes. This is how to win friends and influence people at the hostel. Love it. Love it. I mean, that's the truth. Yeah. That really is like work hard, be nice.
Yeah.
It will get you so far in these spaces. And I think too, like being willing to roll with the punches, like every week is so different and it's the people that make it different. Right. And sometimes I find myself being like, oh, last week's people were so much better. And it's like, well, they're not fucking here anymore. Okay.
Yeah. And I think one more thing for the qualities is to not treat this position just for a free bed. Because we had a few volunteers that did that and it was just not fun.
Yeah.
Because you're not trying to make friends with like the other volunteers or the staff. You're just sitting on your laptop in the corner and you never talk to anyone. Be there to like have the experience instead of just to have a free place to stay.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It makes the environment so much better. And like you have to at a high in demand place, like say the Flying Pig or at Rising Cock too, like where I was, so many people would love to have your place.
Yeah.
You know, and would really make the best of it. So like know that you're in such a great moment, like lean in, live every day to the fullest.
Yeah. It is so much fun working.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that volunteering at Flying Pig led to some pretty steamy moments with, you know, a couple of cute guests or, I don't know, maybe even a housemate. What was dating like for you there? Any particular stories stand out?
So dating in Amsterdam, one thing that stood out was that I'm not funny to Dutch people.
Oof.
They just don't think I'm funny. Even my friends, they don't think I'm funny. They don't. Like the humor just goes through their heads. So it's kind of hard to date like Dutch people. So I mostly dated internationally. Uh-huh. The second half of the year, I was a bartender at the Flying Pig, which made me so confident and flirty behind the bar. I don't know where this confidence came from. One time this girl handed me a €5 tip and I took it and I flipped over it and I gave it back. I was like, but your number's not on here. I don't want it. I don't know where that came from.
Ooh.
Something said it for me. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
And then she was like, you want my number? And I was like, you want to wait for after my shift so we can go for a walk, which ends at 3:30 and this is like 1 a.m. So she did. And then the second I opened the bar doors, I become like so shy and timid and like,
oh my gosh.
But every time I'm behind the bar, I'm just the most attractive person to myself. I'm just like, everyone wants my attention.
Something about that power.
Yeah. But then after we got out the bar, we went for a walk and I took her to this gorgeous canal. It was like 4 a.m. and it was freaking cold and all the lights were orange and there was nobody on the street. So it was like super romantic. And we sat for 20 minutes and talked about our childhoods.
Oh my God. The trauma dumping.
Some trauma, family trauma. And then I didn't make a move because I'm not behind the bar. And then we walked back and on the bridge, I was like, I have to make a move now. The mood is right. There's nobody here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remember this. She's going to remember this. So then I did. Mm-hmm. And then this is a 2-day story. And then the next day, also she told me she's never been with a girl before, but she's always been attracted to girls. I was like, okay, I can work with that. And then the next day, I was like flirting with her. I wasn't working that day anymore, but she like asked me to find a club, like a hip hop club, which is super hard to find in Amsterdam. And then I was flirting with her and she wasn't flirting back. And she was flirting with these other guys that were guests. I was like, what is this? I thought we were together. And then I went up to her. I was like, are you still into girls? And she was like, I think I'm just like guys for now. And then I was like, oh, cool. Me too. As a joke, but like, I was hurt. Not really. My ego was hurt. And then we went to the club. And at the club, I was just shaking my ass. And this girl taps my friend's shoulder and was like, is that your girlfriend, pointing at me? And I was like, I heard that and it turned around so fast. I'm like, no, I'm single. What do you want? And then we were flirting and Frenching a little bit. At one point, I was on stage shaking my ass, and then she like put up a beer in the air for me to take. So I was like, oh, I'm on fire. Yeah.
Pure romance, honestly. Like,
and then we had our little goodbye kiss in front of the club. And then the next day, I woke up and I was like, oh, she followed me on Instagram. Let me just go look. And then she recently celebrated 7-year anniversary with her man.
Stop!
With a ring emoji. And I was like, oh, maybe they're not together anymore. But this was like 5 days ago. And a week later, she unfollowed me. So I don't know what that 2-day bender was.
Wait. Okay. Let me just make sure I'm following correctly. Gal who was handing you a free beer while you were shaking that ass on stage, did she turn out to be the one that was in the 7-year relationship, or was that first girly?
No, that was the gal at the club.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. The ups, the downs, the roller coaster of it all.
The drama.
The drama.
The heartbreak.
Would you say that kind of like flirtation you had with the guest in the beginning of the story was one of your first at the hostel?
No, that was probably one of my like last few ones. It was right before my visa ended. I would flirt behind the bar all the time. But one of the hostel I was working at, there was this British girl and we were flirting. Mm. And this was during our second lockdown. So I was supposed to be out of the hostel by 8 p.m. But my friend who was working bar saw that I was flirting. So she let me stay. And we had these rooms that were emergency rooms, which is like 4 beds for if anyone feels uncomfortable in their room. Mm. The hostel's packed, they can go there. But it's empty 98% of the time. And the staff sleeps in it if they're too drunk and they have to work a 7 a.m. shift, which was me. So I was already planning on staying there. So I was flirting with this girl at the bar while another guy was trying to like have small talk with us the entire time, even though we were both faced away from him. So I was trying to see if she was like making a move on me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to go sleep now. She was like, can I come with?
Oop.
And then we had our little date in the emergency room.
Yeah.
And then I had to wake up at 6:58 to go work my breakfast shift the next day.
I'm assuming like not one wink of sleep was
that. I think we had like 30 minutes. Yeah, but behind the bar, I am just irresistible. For some reason, I am just, everyone wants me.
Honestly, there's nothing more powerful than being the one that everyone's trying to get the drink from. Come on now.
Yeah.
So I was doing some creeping through your Amsterdam highlights. Ooh. And you talked a little bit about your Tinder strategy for getting laundry done. Like, you have to share with the class.
Yeah, so when I was a volunteer at the Flying Pig, we didn't have a laundry machine. Mm. And I really needed laundry done because I was sweaty all the time from cleaning rooms and stuff. So this was the second date. I didn't do this on a first date. The second time, she was like, I'm going to cook for you. I was like, do you have a laundry machine? She's like, yeah. I was like, cool, I'll come over tomorrow.
Yep.
And I didn't talk to her again.
Oh.
I feel like I kind of used her, but there's just no like flirtiness.
Your DNA is in her laundry machine, okay?
But there's no connection between us. It was just like a friend-ish, but I think she wanted a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure.
And the second time I did that was the Tinder date that I stayed with for a month. So, and then her roommates cook me a meal.
People just want to take care of you.
Yeah, they're like, you have no job? You're sleeping at a hostel permanently? Oh.
Yes, the Dutch are so friendly. They really are.
Yeah, they are.
They may not think you're funny, but...
They do not think I'm funny at all. I think most of them just think I don't like myself. You know, I make fun of myself for something and they take it literally that I just hate myself. I'm like, no, I think it's funny. They're like, no, but you're saying these things.
This is American humor. We hate ourselves and that's the joke. So during your time in Europe, Amsterdam in particular, you seem to have built a really strong community. I saw in your stories you're even a part of a queer football team. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
So the queer football team, I was brought by, once again, the Tinder girl that I stayed with for a month. It was really fun, and the whole league was like queer women. So afterwards, everyone would drink beers at the football field, had a bar, obviously. So all the teams would drink beers, and you just see everyone you've matched with on Tinder there. Oop. It's like a big, like, mingle place. They have parties sometimes where people just hook up with each other on a different team.
What? I'm sorry. So this park was the hub.
Yes. It was like a 30-minute bike ride from Amsterdam, and people still bike through like the pouring rain and like 30 degrees. They'll still go just to see some queer women.
Okay, I'm sorry. We have to back up. You said people go to this park to hook up?
To like meet people or like to find the love of their life and to play some football.
Okay, and to play some football. The Texan in you came out.
But mostly to drink beer and mingle, yeah.
Right, so this was the spot.
Yeah.
You have to drop the name, obviously.
I think it's literally called Footy Park Amsterdam on Google Map. Mm. It's in Sloterdijk, which is like 30 minutes by bike away. But yeah, that was like, you show up, you drink a beer, you mingle, and you play some football.
Yeah. You know, another thing you said in this story that really struck me as unique was you were like, yeah, so there was obviously a bar at this park. And I was like, as an American, that's not obvious. Like, that's such a European thing.
Yeah, I love that. Everywhere you just drink. You can drink anywhere. And also my main community was people from the Flying Pig, or the Pig that we call it. People that are working there, or people that like used to volunteer there for like 2 weeks, 3 years ago. Everyone's connected. And it's mostly like people from other European countries. We had like only 7 actual Dutch people, but like everyone else is from like Spain or like Italy, or a lot of Argentinians with like Spain or Italian passports. Yeah. So it's super international. And I found housing through friends of a friend that used to work there 4 years ago. They're like, oh, I'm going on holiday. My room is free if you want to stay in it. So it's super nice. And it's like a huge community that's like in a small community, which is just like the family at the Flying Pig.
Yeah. Sounds like Tinder and good hostel communities is the way to go. Truly, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. I think if I didn't work at the Flying Pig, I would probably be pretty lonely. Because at the Flying Pig, you automatically just have 15 friends within the first week that like takes you to cool places and like helps you find a house, helps you figure out like what healthcare to get as a person that just, because everyone moved to Amsterdam. So it was, and then every time we go out to a restaurant or to hang out at a park, we always like, should we go to the Pig? And then we all go to the Pig to drink our half off staff prices.
Nice. Yeah. So on that note, leave us with some of your favorite Amsterdam hangs. It sounds like Flying Pig was the first stop.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah. My favorite hang of Amsterdam is probably this event that happens once a month. I call it Lesbian Fest, but it's called Girls Love Janie. It's like a queer women festival. Mm. It's basically everyone from the football teams and plus a few other people that didn't make it. You just go and party, and they have it once a month. Which is, I've never seen this many queer women in my life before. It's so empowering, but also you want everyone. Everyone's kind of there and like a bit shy to like hit on other people. Oh. So everyone's just like, the energy there is fun and exciting. Yeah.
Okay. Flirty.
Yeah. And another place, it's a club that plays hip hop, which I found because of the Tinder girl. Ooh. It's called Bitter Zoot. Zoet is like bittersweet, but in Dutch. And they actually play hip hop music, which is what I prefer than like house music. So that's a good spot if you want to party in Amsterdam.
All right. Yeah. Honestly, anybody that gives tips of where to find hip hop in Europe, thank you so much. It's really so difficult.
It is so hard. Yeah. My favorite bar is called Hanukkah's Boom. It's close to the central of Amsterdam, and it's like this huge beer garden. There's always somewhere to sit, and I really like it because they have the QR codes on the table where you just order and pay there, and so you don't have to interact with people that take your order, and they have to switch to English because you don't know how to speak Dutch, and then you feel bad about yourself.
Right. It's like, it's so nice when we skip the part where I am an awkward American and you just give me my booze.
Yeah. And I like know how to say thank you in Dutch. So like, I'm like, oh yeah, we had a Dutch interaction.
Oh yeah. Once you get the hello, excuse me, thank you, goodbye. I think that's just a minimum level of respect. Like when I was in Portugal this past summer, I learned all the kind of the basic stuff that once you get in the Uber, just to be like, hello, how are you? And then they would start speaking really fast to me in Portuguese. And I would obviously disappoint them every time. Uh-huh. And it was almost like in my head, I would ask myself, I was like, is it almost better that I just do the dumb American thing from the get? Because like now they're disappointed in me.
Yeah, they thought you were one of them. I got really good at reading the Uber Eats menu in Dutch, though.
I'll give you a pro tip for that one. Screenshot it if you have an iPhone.
I didn't think about that.
And then copy paste the text.
I always just like type it into Google Translate one by one.
Oh my God, that was the dark ages for me. That was the dark ages. We're now in 3022. So what is the plan moving forward? Are you staying put for a bit? Are you headed out again soon?
I have no clue for the next 5 months where I'm going to go, but probably in the US because I can't go back to Europe for 5 months. But I want to try to find my way back to Amsterdam because I really felt home there. Like when I was living in Amsterdam and I would travel to France or Spain, all I could think about was I can't wait to go home to Amsterdam. Ooh. And I've never felt this way before. And I was only there for a year.
Yeah.
So I would love to see what more there is in Amsterdam. And there's this Dutch American friendship treaty where if you're an entrepreneur, you can basically live and work there permanently. So I'm going to try to do that.
Yeah. You're going to enter your girl boss era.
I hope. Maybe I'll have a podcast.
Hey. Are there any other places that you're looking to volunteer, or what's the vibe when you go back?
I was thinking of my other option would be to get a working holiday for France and go to the south of France to go work on super yachts, like on Below Deck. Ugh. I don't know if I'll hate it, if I'll love it. I'm kind of scared of it because the drama on Below Deck is crazy, but I think it would be a really fun experience where you just travel with a yacht.
So cool. There are so many different ways for you to earn your keep, so to speak, in Europe. And that one is not one you hear about often, but it sounds really cool too.
Yeah.
The drama. We'll have to do a part two.
Yeah.
Once you're done with that.
Next year, I'll come back.
Nice. So lastly, how can people keep up with you? Do you share some of your adventures online?
Yeah, I have my Instagram account, which is Bethany Likes Ham, all in one word. I wanted it to be Bethany Likes Tuna, but when Instagram first came out, they had a word limit, and that was too long, so I have to think of the next processed meat, which is ham. And I also have a YouTube channel, which is also called Bethany Likes Ham, all one word.
Branding.
Which I post like super short, like 2 to 3 minute videos of like silly videos that talk about my feelings or like trying to find love or mostly about trying to find direction in your 20s, like where you just don't know what you're doing and you want someone to tell you what to do. Only you can tell yourself what to do. Something like that, but in a light tone.
Fun. Yeah, I saw one of your videos. It was like happy 100 days in Amsterdam to me, or what was it?
I have 100 days in Amsterdam, 296th day in Amsterdam, and I have 342nd day in Amsterdam. I did like a sequel.
Yeah, these are like little peaks into daily life. You guys definitely should check it out. Bethany Likes Ham.
Yeah, give it a subscription.
What do they always say?
Comment, like, subscribe. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Bethany, for coming and hanging with us and sharing all the details from your last year. I'm super excited for what you do next.
Thank you for having me.
Enchanté.
To keep up with Bethany and all her adventures, be sure to shoot her a follow on Instagram and YouTube at Bethany Likes Ham. 10 out of 10 branding there, Bethany. Gotta admit. Want to link up with like-minded Globethotties all over the world? Find your squad by joining Globethotters Facebook group. Our Facebook group is a private space to ask all your travel cues, swap stories, and meet other adventurers on your wavelength. The Facebook group is also the first to hear about any trips I've got coming up and how you can join me. So, to join the squad, all you gotta do is search Globethotter Travel Gang on Facebook. The link is also in this episode's description. Let's wrap things up with a juicy voicemail straight off the Globethotter hotline. Today's story details the type of travel hookup that just keeps on giving and going. You know those cute 90s rom-coms where one coincidence after the other keeps the main characters together? Yep, this is that kind of cute story.
Okay, so in January, I was in Colombia, and on my second day there, I was in Santa Marta, and I met this guy at my hostel bar. Immediately, we hit it off, flirting, he's buying me drinks, whole nine yards. Let's just say, later that night, we were upstairs in one of the common rooms, having a little rendezvous on the couch, and one of the night workers catches us. Really embarrassing, but it is what it is. So we exchange Instagram handles. I assume I'm never going to see him again, but we're talking, realize we're both going to be in Cartagena at the end of our trip. And so we decide to meet back up there. We get a private hostel room and spend a few days in Cartagena, soaking up the city, drinking, eating, spending time together. It was great. And then, crazy part is, we realize we're on the same exact flight out of the country. He's British, but he's going to Miami for a few days, and I have a layover in Florida. So I actually pay to change my seat and sit next to him. So I give up my window seat to sit like in the middle seat so I can sit next to him. And then I really think I'm never going to see him again. But then we stay in touch and we actually end up meeting up in Vegas in May for a few days and just had like a fun few days together. And so it kind of carried on from Colombia to Vegas, and we still keep in touch, but don't talk as much. But it was fun. You never know what's going to happen when you meet someone and how long it's going to go on. Enchanté.
Inspired to share your own epic travel story on the Globethotter hotline? All you gotta do is go to speakpipe.com/globethotter or click the link in this episode's description to leave an up to 90-second voicemail detailing your travel tale. A quickie, if you will. Want to stay anonymous? No name is required to leave a voicemail. Till next time, I'm Cassie Martinez.